Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
Ready to roll? Listen, don't be so quiet, people. Everyone's quiet this morning. You're welcome to shout out and answer questions. Say yes, that's good. Stand on your chair if you want to. Say, I agree. Miller, you don't need a second invitation. Can I tell a Miller story? Oh, Miller. Okay, I'll leave it there. Love you, bro. Big time. And Jana. Where's Jana? Oh, okay, issues of kids today. Okay. Psalm 62. I must also turn there. Okay. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. And from Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. Just say that with me. Awesome. That was a good recital. Now say that without that religious, I shall not. Say it. Let's vertaal om bietjie. I won't be moved. I won't be shifted. I won't be distracted. I won't be confused. I won't be angry. I won't be offended. Now, you mustn't repeat. I need some more ideas here. I'm telling you what Justin's saying. Yeah, Justin says it's for a friend. Anyone else? I won't be afraid. I won't be shaken. I won't lose my courage. I won't lose my strength. Anyone else? You won't be angry, disheartened. Okay. All right. Worried. Okay, but that's too much negativity now. He only is my rock and my soul. It's just He only. Say God only. Only God is my rock. Only God is my salvation. I won't be moved. We've got to read this, let it sink in, think about what it means. Think about what it means to be in God's presence. Think about what it really means when God is your defense, when He is your fortress. Any moms in the house? Then verse 8 says, trust in, lean on, rely on, and have confidence in Him at, sometimes, only on Fridays after work, only when you walk out of church on Sunday, worship was lekker, I'm so confident, someone cuts you off in the road, confidence out the window, or maybe too much confidence. Think about it. At all times. And then David says, you people, so he's talking to you guys, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. And then he said something that just hit me. Men of low degree are emptiness. Men of high degree are a lie and a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. So often we'll look at someone of high degree And we'll be like, man, that guy has it all. That guy has no issues. That woman has no problems. I mean, if only my life could just... And God, you know, and God's saying, no, it's a lie and a delusion. In the end of the day, man's spirit is the same. In the end of the day, we all have the same spirit, the same human nature, and the same Holy Spirit as well. Does that make sense? So even those who look like they are there, and those that have the same fears, have the same insecurities, have the same confidence problems, the higher you go, the more your problem. Have you ever heard that? Greater levels, greater devils, something like that. No, it's the same. It's the same. There is no greater or lower. It's you and the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Yes, we see it that way. We see it the way I explained it. But in reality, the truth is it's your spirit and the Holy Spirit. I'm still a young guy compared to some people in the room, you know. But as I've got older, I still feel like I'm 18. And I think that's true of every person. 18, good 18. I mean, good 18. I still feel like I'm exploring the world for the first time. And part of that is because inside, in the depths of my heart, there is the real me. The raw Daniel that hasn't had the experiences and the things that have gone on. Deep inside is me in the secret place. Me in the Holy Spirit. And so in every one of us, we have that same, that's why Jesus says, have childlike faith. He's taking you back to that root core without experience, without memory, without fear. He's taking us back to the original. And in that original place, there is just you and the Holy Spirit. But it hit me because I realized it really has to do with our confidence in God. As soon as my confidence is taken off the Lord, I start to look at the world around me. And I start to look at the things that break me or make me. Does that make sense? And God wants to take your focus today and shift it back into that secret place, into the firm rock, onto that firm foundation. I feel like bragging, but Bernadine wrote that song. She wrote that song out of the secret place. And this morning, I mean, if you know just what goes on at home, and sometimes you can forget about what it's like to be in the secret place. But the song she wrote is the truth. It is God's presence. It's what happens when we step into the secret place. So we went hiking. We weren't here last week, in case you didn't notice. How many of you know that we went up on the Fani Buerta hiking trail up in the mountains above Sabi, and it just feels so close to God up in the mountains. And I'm not going to start bragging, but I came back on Monday. And it's like, eh. I want to go back. I'm sitting in my yard and I'm thinking about, you know, the week that lies ahead and things that are supposed to be happening. And, you know, like I might look like no anxiety, but how many of you know I have anxiety sometimes? Pastors also have anxiety, you know. Pastors don't only work on Sundays, they work the whole week. You know, that's just a joke that flies around. Okay. A friend invited me on holiday for 3 weeks. He said, you only have to put 3 days leave in. Like, so I'm, it wasn't Justin. Okay. So. So I'm sitting in the week and there's a whole lot of stuff happening and I'm thinking about the rest of the year and where we're going to go and what we're going to do and all of that. And how many of you have been in that place where you can't stop thinking about next year and today, and you can't figure out what to do? You're like totally stuck in the future, and by lunch you haven't done anything because you've been thinking about October and November. And anyone else in the room? Okay, I'm so glad you thought I was alone for a while. And I'm just like stressing out, you know, in the flesh. And God says, look at that backpack that we've just unpacked. And I look at this backpack, and I share this with our connect group. I'm glad you guys are here again. We can reaffirm the truth. But I looked at this backpack, and God starts to speak. I know he's speaking, but I'm not quite hearing it. So I fill in the blank with a phrase that, you know, Dr. Phil would be really proud of. And I hear these words: fill your backpack with what you need just for today. So I'm like, yeah, that feels good. You know, Dr. Phil, I can just hear it in his voice, right? Okay, like, fill your backpack with what you need today, you know? and I'm just diving into the word, and I ask God, like, God, help me. And I'll just read my prayer, basically. I said, God, will you help me to be confident and courageous every day? I really miss being with our kids, but then I get frustrated at bedtime when they're all around and things are busy. So immediately on day one of being back, I'm already like feeling overwhelmed. God, help me to be confident in your presence. Help me not to feel frustrated and anxious and tired. And he starts to speak, and he starts to share it with me. And he says, basically, through my quiet time, he helped me change my sentence from God, or the sentence was, pack your bag with what you need for today. And he changed it to, pack your bag with what you have to give today. And that was like a real spiritual, Holy Spirit transformation that happened. Because so often we're praying in times of need out of anxiousness. And so we'll go to God and, God, I need A, B, C, D, E, F, G. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, I need. And so we become needy people. There's an interesting verse in Ecclesiastes that says, a young man will get out of prison and become someone who reigns, and the king will become needy. He's looking at two different people groups. He's looking at someone who lost it all, finds the courage to reign, and the king who becomes needy. So needy is a condition of the heart. Needy is a position we choose to have. Justin spoke last week on, you know, position yourself. How are you positioning yourself? And how do you position yourself in praise? And today I want to kind of tag onto that and say, how are you positioning yourself when it comes to your day, when it comes to your week? Are you positioning yourself through what you need, or are you positioning yourself with what you have to give? And as I sat and I just like, wow, God, I'm just getting this like download, this like real revelation. Like, I know we've got to be giving people. I know that I've got to be generous. I know that I have something to give. But in my quiet personal time, I kind of always go back to what I need. And it changes everything. It changes the way I think, changes the way I act. And I was filled with so much energy from, I'm not ready for this week, to suddenly I can't wait for this week to happen. Does that make sense? I can't wait for this moment. So we went to a friend of ours, mom, passed away, and we were at the funeral, and the lady next to me is coughing, and I'm just like pulling out halls, and I'm like, I just want to give. Just you know, I just want to just help, you know. And I'm driving, and I'm feeling so good, and I'm just ready. I'm like ready. Just send me, Lord, send me. Anyone had that experience? And it just completely flipped my expectation levels. Because I went from, I don't know if I'm going to receive, to I have so much to give. I have so much to pour out. We might not all have the same finances. We might not all have the same opportunities to give physically. But man, God, when you start to position yourself to give, to be willing, to be ready, something changes in your heart. You get a new confidence. Now, this is a bad example, but it's an example about positioning, right? Has anyone ever been afraid that their car is going to get stolen? Anyone in the room? Okay. Now, I want to show you positioning, all right? If you have a really, you know, if you drive, now this is hypothetical, I've never thought like this before, this is 100%, all right, so don't look at me like that, but you're thinking, you know, I really want a new car. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drive to Waverly Plaza, I'm going to leave my keys in the ignition, and I'm going to pray someone steals it. Mela's like, I never thought about that. But what happened? You suddenly start to think, no one's going to steal it. With the key in the ignition, you're going to go to Wimpy for 2 hours, go to Cappuccino's for another, go shop at Pick and Pay, come out, and there's your car. All right, I'm talking positioning. I'm trying to say the things we fear, we often fear because of fear, not because they're really going to happen. Does that make sense? Now, please do not do what I just said. Okay, please don't. I was thinking about the human nature. I was thinking about the fact that if I wanted my car to get stolen, I'm going to be afraid that it won't get stolen. Does it make sense? That's all. Guys out there on the TV land, you know, whatever. I'm trying to show that if I wanted it to go, if I wanted the opposite to happen. So we often end up fearing just because of our position of our heart, just because of the fact that we are needy. And neediness comes from not trusting. Does that make sense? Neediness is a position. You can have someone who is loaded and they're still needy. That person will receive the very gift they've hoped for and they'll turn their attention to the next need. And so they're constantly stuck, focused with attention on the next need, never satisfied, because their position of their heart is needy. Now, as I search the word needy in the Bible, it comes up a lot. And it turns out God has a lot of grace for the poor and the needy. God's positioning of grace is for those in need. Jesus goes and he says, your Father knows what you need even before you ask. He knows. God already knows what you need. God already understands you. He understands everything about you. But as I read it, it's just, I'm going to comfort. I'm going to provide. I'm going to give. I'm going to pour out my blessing. The poor and the needy will be lifted up. Over and over and over again. It's like an area that God wants to just remind us of his promises. I know you're needy. I know you position yourself as needy, but let me remind you of the promises. I can't think of one condition in the Bible that God actually addresses over and 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 over again. He brings his grace to the poor and the needy, and he says, I will lift them up. And what grace is, grace really, listen, grace, God's grace is that he comes into the situation and he is big enough to handle whatever situation you are going through. Sometimes we'll go through things that we just don't expect. And God comes in that moment and he says, okay, I know what you've been through. I know where you've come from. I know what's happened. But besides all of that, I am going to lift you up. And there's a change in our heart where we lean into our faith in God. We trust in God. And we step out of that eerie, needy place and we step into place of confidence, a space of reliant trust, a space of hope, a space of faith, where we can say, God, I will not be moved. And in that, it's hard, because as soon as you make that decision, something will come your way that's going to test you again. But you've got to go, God, I'm going to get back into your presence. I'm going to stay where I won't be moved. I'm going to stay in that place where I can't be shifted, where I can't be challenged. Now, James 4 is a challenging one. It's not challenging, it's the truth. Just say with me, it's the truth. It asks the question, what leads to strife and how do conflicts originate? And I was thinking about that question. You can think about any conflict. You can think about any strife. You can think about any argument. And basically, you have two groups of people or two people saying, I'm needy. And the other person says, no, I'm more needy than you. No, I'm the neediest. Now I will prove in the next 3 points that I'm needier. Another one says, you don't know how to prove anything. And so there's this conflict and there's this strife because of need. Because of poor positioning, not positioning in trust, not positioning in God's presence. And so you have this battle of needs. And then it says in verse 2, but let's just go down to the end because it's a heavy verse 2, all right? So it says, so you fight and you war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask, yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose, with evil intention. Your intention is to spend it on sensual desires. Now that sounds so heavy, and you're like, Daniel, why are you taking me there? But sensual desires doesn't necessarily speak about perversions and all things. It speaks about desiring in the flesh the need to be looked after outside of God's presence. Sensual speaks about what I see with my eyes, what I hear with my ears, what I choose to believe outside of the secret place. And James writes and he says, you ask, but you don't receive because you don't ask for the right reasons. Anyone asked and not received? Okay? Anyone asked and not received? Now, sometimes we ask from a place, and I want to say neediness, and there's all sorts of, let's just leave it at neediness today for the context of today's message. But we ask out of a place of unbelief. Does that make sense? And sometimes in our hearts and minds, we've gone, God, I need this to feel this so that that will work out in this way, and then I will feel great. And God's like, nope. God's like, no, not going to happen. On earth, we say, sorry for you. But that's not God. God says, I will lift up the needy. But he lifts up the needy by bringing you into a place where God completely redeems that. Because in verse 6, it says, he gives us more and more. Say that with me. He gives us more and more. Just say it again. He gives us more and more. Grace, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, to challenge the evil tendencies, to challenge the false beliefs we have, to challenge the sense of disappointment. God gives us more and more grace to understand when we are confused. He gives us more and more grace to trust when we're afraid. He gives us more and more grace, but in his Holy Spirit, his nature is to give more and more. That is God's nature. But it requires us to not set the plan out and say, if this, then that, then result. The Bible says Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith that preceded, it came before he saw the fruit. So that's what faith is. Faith is, God, I don't mind. I don't care what happens. I'm okay being high. I'm okay being low. Paul said, I learned how to be okay with having much. I learned how to be okay having little. In other words, my faith and my confidence doesn't rest on having or not having. My faith and my confidence rests purely in the Holy Spirit who gives more and more. And just because of that, I'm declared righteous. Just because of that, I enter into the secret place. Just because of that, I can stand firm. Just because of that, I can say, I have something to give. Hello? Just because of my faith, I can believe that I have something to give. Something to give in every situation. It doesn't matter what situation I go into, my habit, my go-to has to become, but how can I give in this situation? Too many people are hit by situations and they have no idea how to get out of it. But if they had the preconceived expectation or the position that when I get into every situation, I'm going to ask, how can I give? What can I do to bring God into this situation? What can I do to bring hope into this moment? What can I do to bring the presence of God into something I didn't expect? See, our safety, our faith doesn't rely on things going as we think they're going to go. Sometimes the unexpected happens. But it's in that moment, if we preposition ourselves, we say, how can I bring God into the situation? We're going to see God's presence just fill our heart with faith, with hope, with excitement, encouragement. Now, I've got this, you know, if you do strength finders, one of my strengths is adaptability. In many ways, it means I love a good crisis. I don't like crisis. But when a crisis happens, I'm like, okay, all right, what are we going to do in this situation? How are we going to get out of this? COVID, that's fun. Let's go. I know for most people it wasn't. I know for most people we lost much. I'm talking about my nature. My nature's like, well, here's a challenge that's different. Does that make sense? Now that is kind of what happens when we're trusting that we have something to give in every moment. If you're hit by something that you didn't expect coming, then ask God, how can I give in this situation? How can I bring you into this situation? Does that make sense? I'm not saying I liked COVID. Can I clarify? Or that period. I'm trying to say by nature, when there is a crisis, some people get up and go, wow, let's find something new to do in this time. Let's adapt. Let's change. Let's do something that's completely different. Okay, Jesus says, John 14, and then we're going to finish. John 14. Actually, let's go to 14 verse 12. Jesus says, I assure you. Just say that with me. I assure you. Okay, God assures you. Jesus assured you. Not he didn't hint at it. It's not like a, you know, this is an assurance. He says, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. So Jesus is assuring you that if you believe in him, then you'll be able to do the things that Jesus did. This is an assurance. He's saying if you steadfastly, if you're not moved, if you stay on the rock, if you stay in his position, you will do even the things that Jesus did. And then he says something that, like, I can just see the disciples there, and even today we're still going, but what on earth does that mean? How on earth am I going to do anything greater than what Jesus did? How are we going to do greater than what Jesus did? So, most of us don't even believe we can do what Jesus did. And then Jesus says, no, you're going to do greater. Like, God, what is that? Well, I don't know. I can't tell you what you're going to do. Does that make sense? I can't tell you what you're going to do. I can't. Each one of us has a personal relationship with Jesus. And when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, he says, and if you steadfastly believe in him, he says, not Daniel says, he says, John wrote it, I assure you, you will do even what I did. And by the way, you're going to do greater things. So he's saying, those things you're afraid of, those things you're scared of, you're only afraid of them, you're only scared of them because you're not believing. But when you believe, hello? Okay, then, verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled through the Son. Yes, I will grant whatever you shall ask in my name, as presenting all that. And then God says, I am. The I am. Jesus is. God is. I am. In other words, he is the beginning. He's the end. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's in. He's out. He is. And because he is, we are. Does that make sense? So whatever God is, whoever he is, we are because he is. He's bigger than any explanation. He's bigger than any logical understanding. He's greater than our understanding of time. He's greater than our understanding of this physical universe. He's so much greater. And when we recognize that and understand that, we can step in. That's actually what gives us confidence, is the greatness of God. The greatness of God scares people, so they try and narrow God down to what they understand. But in my heart, in my life, I've learned that by realizing that He's so much bigger than what I understand, I actually find confidence. That's what the I am means. And He's drawing us into that nature. He's saying, you will do things you don't even understand yet, things we can't even stand here at the mic and say, these are the greater things that you will do. We don't even understand yet. But in our faith and in our confidence, we step into that. Is that good? Anyone feel encouraged today? Okay, last point. It's easy on the mountain. That's why we like to go to the mountains. It's easy to experience His presence there. But He didn't destine us to experience His presence in the mountains. The Bible says, from where will my help come from? Then it says, I look to the mountains. But it's not there. God's presence is with us here. So often, I want to encourage you, don't wait for Sunday to experience the presence of God. Don't wait until you feel good to experience the presence of God. Don't wait until things are nice or looking good, until you're having breakfast on a slope amongst the daisies. Don't wait for that moment to experience the presence of God. It's easy to experience the presence of God there. There's no distractions. There's no disturbance. There's just peace. But God created you to have strength and be confident in the valleys. He created you to draw from heaven while on earth. That's what He created you to do. So we need to come down from the mountain. We need to, you know, the Israelites were there and they were down in the and they were in unbelief, and the result was a golden calf. Moses was up on the mountain in the glory. But God's saying, let's experience Him. Don't just wait. Yes, you are going to have mountain experiences. You are going to have moments of just incredible joy and peace and rest in His presence. God does give that to us. He wants that for. But we have to come down. I've got to come down and face my week. I've got to come down and face the things we go through. So stop praying that the difficulties will go away and start praying for confidence. Start praying for trust. Start praying for that firm foundation under your feet. Start praying that God will open up your eyes to see His kingdom regardless of circumstance. Start praying for joy. Start praying for peace. You know that peace means joy, even when, what's the, peace with, yeah, joy is peace regardless of situations. Start praying for that. Say, God, will you give me insight into this? Will you reaffirm my spirit and my nature? Does it make sense? And I've prayed for things. God, will you just turn this situation? And then 4 years later, same situation. Nothing has changed because I haven't pressed into the presence where I should press into when it comes to that. So that's where the change happens. That's where God stirs us. So I want to encourage you to draw heaven, to draw from the kingdom of heaven and bring it into your situation wherever you are. Is that good? Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.